I am Planta on the Line in Vancouver, British Columbia at thecommentary.ca. In a deeply personal memoir, Catherine Layton tells her story as a woman, a feminist, and a mother. Her personal experiences and her evolving perspective shine a light on the universal experience mothers encounter. The book is called Motherlike, and it's honest, raw, and candid. It illuminates for a lot of us what it's like to bring life into the world and all the changes that ensue. I'll talk to Catherine now about the book, about the experiences she writes about. They start off as addressed to her child, her son. She talks about how her life has changed over the course of being pregnant. And not just her life, but her outlook on life itself. She talks about what she's lost and gained as a result of becoming a mother. And the changes aren't just emotional, but physical. Men come into focus, too. And not just a relationship with her son's father, but through negative experiences for men Catherine has encountered, how that shapes her own thinking, affecting it negatively as well. She also does something in the book that as a male I've had no comprehension of heretofore, the sleeplessness as a result of giving birth, and the postpartum depression and how it manifests itself. Catherine Layton is a poet, screenwriter, and nonfiction writer from Toronto. Her first book of poems, All the Gold Hurts My Mouth, received the Relit Award. Her work has appeared in the Globe and Mail, Hazlitt, and Bitch. She lives in Ottawa, but joined me earlier this month from Florida, where she was visiting with relatives. This new book is published by Second Story Press. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Catherine Layton. Ms. Layton, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
So you address your book to your child, and I found it I was quite moved by that as I started the book, and then I realized that I was wondering why you did that.
Yes, especially as the book goes on, it's really not appropriate to be addressing it to the child at certain times,
right?
Because of the content. So I started addressing it to him because I really started this book when I was pregnant with him, really early pregnant. So I was actually felt like I was, you know, writing to him. And then as time went on, I sort of did it tongue in cheek because, you know, a real focus of this book is to really humanize mothers and to speak about them in a way to make sure the audience knows that I'm, you know, I'm a woman first. In a way, right? And so I kept it that way because I'm really speaking to him, you know, from that perspective first. So it's trying to make a statement.
It's a very effective way to come into a book because even though it does get too personal sometimes in the book or private even, it's effective in that. As a reader, I felt as though I was imposing on a private conversation, and these things are private. These things are intimate that you're talking about.
Yes.
At what age do you think he'll read it?
Oh, that's a good question. Because I mean, he's almost 7 right now, so I don't know. That's such a good question. Maybe as a teenager. Yeah. I would think 16, 17. I mean, I've already talked to him about it at an age-appropriate level and, you know, said sort of, I hope he forgives me one day, you know, or I hope that he isn't bothered by it.
Yeah.
But I hope I'm raising him in a way that he won't be bothered by it beyond, you know, some teenage embarrassment.
Yeah, or even won't need to read it sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't need to read it. That's absolutely true. Yeah.
Well, what does your son's dad think, or other members of the family that are mentioned in the book you know, are adjacent to his life?
Yeah.
Have they read it? What do they think?
No, they have not read it. So, I mean, my son's father has read it, and he, you know, he's read a million iterations of it along the way. He's extremely supportive, and I never would, you know, I never would have written it or put it out there if he wasn't. So he has to be comfortable with everything that I've written in it, including, you know, some members of his family. So, you know, he's supportive. He doesn't feel like, you know, there's any secrets. I mean, I feel a little bit uncomfortable in a way about it. But there's nothing that, you know, no one doesn't know that's in it, but it is a little bit uncomfortable. And, you know, I certainly don't want to cause friction, but it might cause a little bit of friction.
Yeah. So, what do we, as say the eavesdroppers on this conversation you're having with your son, what might you'd like us to get out of this book?
You know, I think that I really would like the reader to get that intimate and really honest and raw look at what motherhood is like, especially, you know, the first pregnancy and early motherhood, because I think that that is lacking. There's certainly more stories out there. So it felt really important to get into all those gritty, intimate details, because I think that motherhood's a huge shock to a lot of people that go through it. So that felt really important to get to have the reader have a really up-close look at it, instead of, you know, a glossy distant finish, I suppose.
Yeah, like I'm a guy, I'm not a parent myself. And I don't plan to be. So mm-hmm. So I certainly got I got to read about what that's like, and how that changes one's life. Because I mean, at this moment I'm 41, and I think if a child were added to my life, I'd like to think that my life wouldn't change that much. But reading about your life, it certainly has changed a great deal, hasn't it?
Yes, I think it changes dramatically, and you can't really avoid that. I think the public discourse out there about, you know, parenthood really is mismatched with what it's really like. And maybe you could make certain things, if you had one child, about your lifestyle stay the same, but I think it's just a whole different feeling to be responsible for this other human, and you love this other human so much, and yet you only have so much control over them. It just makes you incredibly vulnerable, and it opens up this whole new set of questions.
You narrate in the book just how much you've changed about your younger self. Even you describe yourself as self-indulgent, sexual, spontaneous, in many aspects of your life. It is clear after having read the book that motherhood changes all that. Is there a certain aspect of who you once were that you miss the most?
That's such a good question. I think I miss that spontaneity, for sure. I mean, I have kept, you know, elements of that spontaneity that are expressed with my children, but I miss that freedom and spontaneity to do things, and maybe a little bit of my adventurousness, you know, that always has to be tempered by caution and, you know, what is right for my kids, right? I can't just make these rash decisions because stability is so important for them. So I think that's what I miss most.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that, like, you know, motherhood doesn't just magically make you stop being self-indulgent, mm-hmm. You know, or sexual or all these other things. I mean, that still remains. It just changes the way that all comes out.
Yeah, I guess the time of day, I guess, would change when you're a parent, right?
Yeah, about that, I just mean, like, even the self-indulgence, like, in a way, I do say this in the book, I do feel having children is, you know, self-indulgence. I think that's also part of the narrative sometimes, that, you know, you become selfless when you have children, and you do in a way so much for them. Your life is all about them. You're just constantly, you know, them all day, right?
Yeah.
And in that way, yourself, I mean, they're people, and you realize that very quickly, but you know, you're so invested in them, right? Like, you're doing it for love. So it's not like you're suddenly selfless when you have a child. I mean, I think there's something sort of self-indulgent in the first place.
You describe motherhood like falling in love, which I think is a great way to put it, because it is a process, isn't it? As this human being is growing inside of you, you're getting to know one another, aren't you?
Yes, I think that's true, and it continues that way because they become more and more of a person, you know, every day that they grow. You know, they go from being these infants who can't do anything for themselves, and then they're, you know, these walking, talking individuals with their own ideas. So you're really falling in love with them more and more as time goes past.
The other thing that I found as I was reading and thinking about a great deal, and I say this as a guy, is that there's a lot of stuff that women have to deal with, mothers especially, in the context of reading your book, that guys don't have any comprehension of and don't have to deal with. And you know, I don't have an answer for you, but I just wanted to acknowledge that as having read the book, that this is just a lot of shit that you all have to go through. And I'm wondering, you know, I was going to ask you how to make it better, and you know, I think we all know the answer to that. But in terms of writing about that and teaching that to a young person especially, I mean, that's incredibly important, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is really important. And I think that we should pay more attention to that, you know, just the physical and psychological toll that it has on women, and that men are really removed from that. And, you know, I went into it, you know, I'm this big feminist, and I thought I'm going to somehow make it be equal, you know, between my husband and me. But that's just really impossible, right?
Yeah.
Just because of the physical nature of it.
There's another scene in the book that I'd like to reflect on. You talk in the book about men you've encountered over the years that you've had conversations with where they expect you to hold on to negative statements about other women because they like to think that you're not like those other women. And,
yeah.
And you know, I'm as a male, I'm probably guilty of that. I mean, I guess I'm not willing to cop to that in particular, but I'll just say that I've been known to make negative statements about everybody. But at the same time, I realized as I was reading the book, that's a lot to bear, especially for the person who's the other part of the conversation. And you've been part of the other side of that conversation over the years, haven't you?
Yes. I mean, I think it is a lot to bear, and I think that's why it can be easier, you know, to fall into the trap as women of just feeling like, oh, yeah, well, I am different. I am not like other women, right? And as a young woman, I'm sure I have done that at different points in my life. But I you know, as I got older, you realize what a trick that is, you know, and that's really just pitting you against other women, and that competition is just, you know, really endless in everything that we do, including pregnancy and motherhood.
Yeah, and
that encouragement.
Yeah, and it just shows how internalized this all is for all of us, right, men and women.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. You're quite candid as you chronicle your relationship with Clay. As you look back at it, is that important to tell your child? Because you do go through the ups and downs and quite the intimate and the personal. I can see how valuable that might be for yourself as you know, working out feelings and the sort and even just in the process of putting down history. I did mean to interrupt, otherwise I wouldn't have. You did speak a moment ago about having him having read this and being extremely supportive, but at the same time, I guess there are lessons in there for your son, right?
So, as I said, it is a book addressed to my child, but you know, it's not really addressed to him in a way, you know, like it's not like I felt that I'm writing that just for him. So, you know, I think there's important lessons in there for him in that he I think people should know that, you know, these romantic ideals that we see aren't true. And that even though there might be conflict and strife and difficult times to go through, you know, it doesn't mean you don't love each other, and you don't work through it. And that this is what love looks like. So I'm not afraid of him seeing this and thinking, and being hurt by it.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
Yeah. As I reflected on it after reading the book, I found it like I was eavesdropping or peeping through and seeing something that I shouldn't see. But at the same time, I can see how invaluable that is for a lot of people who might think that, you know, the relationship is going the same way and feel seen, if you will.
Yeah. I mean, it's such an interesting broader conversation to have. You know, I think some people are really shocked by how intimate this seems, and you know, I'm a really sort of private, reserved person, if you meet me in person, so then I think it could be shocking to have all these, like, really intimate things in a book, but I am still selecting which things I'm comfortable with putting out there, and I would say none of this stuff is really a secret, you know, and I feel like at the same time, it's almost like a character. That is me, but I'm curating this character, so it feels easier to have it out there. And regarding, you know, making a writing and having a child, and you know what I can put up there, I can't really write and say, well, I can't write this because of my son, unless it was something I felt would directly harm him. And I don't think that this would directly harm him. I think he might feel embarrassed at certain points in his life, but not be really harmed by it.
Yeah. You talk in the book about how women's bodies are seen during and after pregnancy and how you felt, especially. It's a lot to wish that society can change in that regard. But I guess in talking about it, you're doing something about it, aren't you?
I think so, yeah. I think I am. Yeah, I think it's really important for people to see that. And I really did write this book for more than just, you know, women and mothers or people interested in having kids. You know, I read it for everyone, so I want people to read that and get a sense of what that might be like, even if they haven't experienced it themselves.
You also write about the sleeplessness, the sleep deprivation that happens after giving birth. You write about postpartum depression, which I think is something that a lot of people still don't understand.
Mm-hmm. Yes, for sure. I mean, it's a really serious, it's very serious, and I think that, you know, we should have a much, you know, broader conversation about it and deeper understanding, because it's really, really scary and can have really, you know, negative consequences. And it's an actual chemical imbalance in your brain, right? Like a hormonal imbalance, and it's not something that can be controlled. This isn't just women who can't sleep and, you know, who are feeling sad or struggling with the situation. This is much deeper and more serious than that.
You also write in the book about your son taking your last name, and
yes.
I found that a fascinating thing, because I know people who have done that, and you know, I thought it almost, just because I know more than two people who've done that, I didn't think it was that big of a deal. But it turns out that in your situation, a lot of people were offended and angry about it, weren't they?
You know, I don't know if it was a lot of people, but yes,
I can think of, right?
Yes. So, yeah, I mean, I can say that, right? It was a big deal for my father-in-law, and which wasn't surprising, really. But, yeah, I don't think it's a big deal in some circles. In other circles, it is a big deal. So, you know, for a certain side of the family, not everyone in that family, it was a really, really big deal. And I don't think they could just be... you know, I don't think they were capable of being critical of why, you know, only taking the father's last name might be unfair.
Yeah. And then you mentioned that there was some consideration about using both names, but that wasn't that didn't yeah. happen, right?
Yeah. So originally, like I thought we would use both last names. My son's father really wasn't into that. He doesn't like hyphenation, and he just said, "I'm cool with him taking your last name." He was really like, you know, you're growing him in your body, and that is, you know, he was just cool with that. He didn't see a problem with it. And of course, there was all sorts of conversation after. With certain people we know, they thought that I was like twisting his arm into it and him forcing him into this situation and all sorts of things. You know, they just really couldn't believe that he would do that willingly. And it's just, you know, we had this conversation, he and I, after, you know, there was all this upset about it. He's just like, it's so strange. Like, it's not as if, you know, it makes me any less of his father. You know, like, this really isn't what makes me his father. Like, him having my last name, like, what makes me a father is me being here every day and raising him. But there's all this significance attached to, you know, this act.
You talk in the book about what it's like with others giving advice, especially as you're pregnant. Do you find how are you finding yourself in terms of giving advice? Because a lot of people might read this book and glean some wisdom, some advice from it. You're not the kind of person that goes around telling people about your own experience, and especially, you know, you see someone who's pregnant and giving them the rundown about what to expect, right?
You're calling me out, aren't you? No, I hope not. I really hope not. I try not to. But people often ask you about your experience, and I think this is something I've thought about a lot. Like, you know, going into pregnancy, I felt so in the dark, even though I had talked to so many other women about it, and I thought, like, why didn't they tell me this? But I find myself holding back on certain things because I realize that every experience is different, first of all. Second of all, I think that some of the things are really discouraging to hear when you try to tell women how difficult it's going to be. It's really, really hard just in a casual conversation impart what they're going to face, and really something I think they can only understand by going through it. And so it doesn't feel right sometimes to, I mean, I certainly don't like giving advice at all unless they ask for it. Definitely not. But in terms of talking about my experience, I have. But it's hard. It's hard to do.
Yeah, I found it amusing when you talk in the book about how parents are. I've experienced this because people I know have had children. It seems like they're the first people ever to have children whenever they talk about it. You know what I mean? It's like nobody else has had a kid before them.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yes, that's true. Yeah, I would say that's true. I mean, I think that's really hard, especially when you're first, you know, when you have your first one, you feel like, I'm the only person who's done this. You know that you aren't, but that's what happens. You're like, I can't believe everyone, all these other people have gone through this before, you know? And so I know where that comes from, but yeah, I think it's important to realize, like, no, so many people have done this before. You're not the first.
Exactly. Yeah. You're right about wanting, a child who's just empathetic and happy. And, there's a beautiful line in the book where you, talk about, actually I wrote it down here, quote, kind and happy seems like an impossible proposition for most people these days. I found that awfully profound. And the responsibility of having to raise someone in today's society or at any time in history, that weighs heavy, doesn't it?
It really does weigh heavy, yeah. And it still does as they get older because as they get older, so I actually have three boys now. And so as they get older, you realize that you have, you know, less and less control over their lives and less influence. I mean, or they have so many competing influences in school and friendships, which are all wonderful, and media. But, you know, there's a lot of negative influences out there. And especially with boys, it feels really, really daunting to be facing the prospect of raising these three boys into, you know, these kind, adults who do no harm. And of course, I know so many wonderful men and so many mothers who have done that, but it does feel really, really daunting.
And there's another thing you brought up, and I wanted to know what you thought. You talk about whether I can't remember the context now, but you talk about how kindness can be patterned and repeated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At the same time, one wonders if our flaws are inherited. Because just as much as the good can happen, the bad does as well, doesn't it?
Definitely. And I think, yeah, I talk about how those flaws also can be, you know, repeated, these patterns that we have. And I think that they are, because again, you know, of course, I have many flaws and many destructive behaviors or thought patterns. And unfortunately, when you become a parent, they don't just magically disappear. And that's another thing I've actually felt is disappointing about parenthood, is that I thought, you know, okay, well, you know, the love for your child does seem perfect. Like, it's so overwhelming and all consuming. And you think, like, why can't I change those patterns magically for my kids? But you can't, really. You can work towards that, but it isn't just something that happens because of the strength of that love, right? They're still there, and then, you know, they can repeat these patterns of behavior because they see you doing them. And that's scary.
Yeah. 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 And you write in the book, and you write about this throughout the book, asking yourself, what is a good mother? Mm-hmm. And having written the book now, I mean, do you still ask yourself that every day?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, because I'm so, well, for a few reasons, I think. I you know, I'm, because I fail every day at certain things. You know, for example, you know, I would like to be endlessly patient with my kids. That doesn't mean I don't set boundaries. I don't stop them if they're doing something they shouldn't be. But, you know, I would like to always say it in a kind, firm tone. That's what my husband talked about, and I talk about doing it in a kind, firm tone. But when you're so sleep deprived and stressed, you know, sometimes I snap at my children and I wish that I didn't, right? Or I take a tone that I don't like. I mean, these minor things. But especially now, I find, even in the past 5 or so years, with, you know, there's a lot of parenting advice on Instagram, and I don't know if has seen this world as someone who's not a parent, but there's a lot of parenting advice, which sort of, a lot of these parenting experts come across as if they're perfect parents. Mm. And that sets me up to feel like a failure a lot. But in a lot of aspects, I just always feel like I could be doing a better job.
Well, I mean, I don't want to patronize you, but it seems like you're doing a great job at it, and taking the time to think about it, and even just the endless worry,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Suggests to me that your kids are doing fine.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. I hope so. Yeah. I mean, they're very loved. So there's that.
Yeah. See, I mean, that's a great start, isn't it? Because you do talk about in the book just how hard it is for people to be kind and happy in our society today. I can't help but think that that's a good place to begin in. The other thing that I found, I enjoyed about the book is that you write the pauses in, and I couldn't help but think as I was reading the book that how necessary those are in life itself, not just reading a book like yours.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that's true. I think that, you know, I really wanted people to sit, with certain things, that I wrote about. And I think that's, as you said, important in our daily lives too, but sometimes hard to do these days.
Indeed, indeed. Catherine, I so appreciate you taking the time to talk about the book. Congratulations on it, and continued good luck with it.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks so much for reading it and for speaking with me. It was a pleasure.
The book is called Motherlike. It's published by Second Story Press. Its author, Catherine Layton, joined me on the line from Florida In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Plata.